Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And today I have with me a couple of amazingly wonderful people. We don't have Patrice with us today because she is traveling. So we will do our best to sound intelligent, even though she's not here. So, no pressure. But clearly, I'm not the one that's going to make us sound smart. So it's all on both of you.
We're doomed. We're doomed. That's all I can say.
Doomed. Doomed.
We're all doomed.
But I have to point out, since Patrice isn't here today, there's only three of us, that by percentage increases the number of UK representatives on this British show.
30% of we now
our
33 and
members,
a third,
yeah.
33 and a third recurring.
Yeah, that's right. Ian, how are you?
I'm
As our
fantastic.
token Brit.
Our token Brit is fine. A little bit chilly, as we were talking about before we started recording. The UK's gone a bit cold. So the place where I record is got chilly. So I've got a heated electric blanket. That could be my cool thing, actually.
Or your warm
This
thing.
way. My one thing indeed, to keep the chills away. But otherwise, I'm all good. I'm all good. This week I've been playing breaking out or breaking Oracle databases and see if I can fix them again. It's been my fun this week. I'm
Oh,
learning about
what fun.
I'm labs and I'm breaking them and fixing them. I'm building a class out, so I'm just doing some stuff with that. So it's been fun.
Nice. Nice. And speaking of fun, Tom, how are you?
I'm having a fun day. Thanks, Jeff. I'm doing fine. I had a wildlife encounter a few minutes ago. There was a hawk
Cool.
in the yard that was chasing some of the little finches in the backyard. So I
Oh.
saw a hawk go after a little finch. It didn't get it, but it was like it reminded me of the old Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, wildlife adventure at Tom's.
That's right. Maybe I could open a theme park here. Charge admission.
You absolutely could. And you could be the enthusiastic park host that tells us all about the different birds and why raptors are so amazing, but why the finches are actually more evolved. Because anyhow, maybe I should come out and work in your bird park.
Hired. You're
Yeah.
hired.
Yeah. All right. Well, the big show. So we do tech news stories, and I'm curious who has the first news story.
Yeah, so we can be. There we go.
And that would be Ian.
Damn. Faster at the
Oh.
switch again. I'm desperately searching through my news feed for anything that wasn't based on an AI story this week, because I'm bored of AI stories.
Yeah, good luck with that. But hey, you actually did it, and
I managed. And it's a story about good friend, our Uncle Juarez.
I see what you did there.
Ah, yes, Uncle Juarez. It's a story about people are misusing playlists on Spotify to promote pirate links. And so what they're doing is they're creating playlists with a header contains a link to click here for downloading whatever it is. Sony Vega is the example in the article. And there's a .me type of dodgy link that will probably take you somewhere full of spyware and pirates and all manner of rubbish that you do not need or want. And they're now abusing basic. There's a cybersecurity enthusiast, a guy called Carol, Polish surname that I won't try and pronounce, or possibly Czech, and murder the poor man's name. And he's Pechorek.
was Bichorek, yeah. You see, I wasn't going to try and I wasn't trying to murder the poor man's name. But he was doing a search. He was doing some, and if you saw, also what this means is because the playlists are there, they get searched by spiders and they get sent into the larger search engine database. So therefore, these things are then turning you search for crack for Sony Vega, the thing that he's been looking at here.
They turn up
Yeah.
in Google searches then, and it shows you going to Spotify to find this thing. So they're
So,
getting SEO promotion for their spam
yeah.
because of the
Okay. Yep.
Spotify. And
Okay.
because it, and then they're also creating podcasts, and I've got my inverted commas fingers up here for where they're creating, again, lists of bootleg content or audio speech driven bootleg content they're uploading via podcast services, particularly one called Firstory is the one that I don't think probably are looking too hard at what people are uploading. And that's also turning up in Spotify's content. So again, your search, you can find an ebook, you can find ebooks in there on downloading torrents and God knows what else. And kids at home, please do not follow any of these things. Do not do any of these things unless you like viruses. Because really all
Right.
you're going to get is ransomware, spyware, and viruses. If you like those things, fill your boots, but please, I do not recommend it. Do not
Yeah.
follow any of these things. These are no recommendations. This is just dodgy. This is just dodgy people using yet another way of exploiting. So is it? It
But
may be another initiation thing again. Oh, and game cheats.
I'm
And
not a
game cheats.
Spotify user, but so this implies that you can put links in your playlist. Is that
Yeah. So in the description.
right? In the
So you
description.
say. So you
I
create a
see.
playlist of songs from the concert I went to, and then there's a description where you can talk a little bit about, oh, it's a lovely day, we went to so and so. These are the songs that were played by the artist. It's what people
Right,
do.
but I
But
check
here with.
somebody's. Yeah, I check somebody's playlist and then it says for free download gaming crack, click here. Why? Who?
And there's also game cheats
Have
being
we
promoted in the same way.
learned nothing?
No, apparently
Clicking
not.
a link in a playlist?
Have we learned nothing? No,
I
not a
do
thing.
like that Spotify says that their platform rules prohibit doing this sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, that's Clearly, it effective. doesn't.
That's
Yeah.
working really well.
Why wouldn't a simple solution be don't allow links in description?
Yeah, we really easy.
Well,
But I suppose then you'd block access to going to an artist's website to be able to see their latest tour dates and stuff, wouldn't it? Using it in a proper manner.
Used appropriately, there's a lot of value in allowing links in those headers. The problem is that then you have these bad actors that abuse this inappropriately. Yeah, I see.
Well, as if there's a way to appropriately abuse it.
Well, and the SEO thing comes from the fact that there's a web version of Spotify where all these links live, and of course Google crawls the whole web so it sees them.
I just
Yikes.
noticed farther down in the article that Spotify's spam issues go beyond misusing these header things. So apparently, you can get bootleg content like bootleg ebooks through Spotify. Yep, that's what I was talking about as well. Yeah.
That's just awesome.
I've just done a search on those search terms. I'm just seeing if I can find a Spotify link. I'm just curious.
Oh, so let's see. Several
Looks like they may have
Spotify
cleaned it.
podcasts and playlists promoting EPUBs and ebook PDFs. These episodes, in
Yeah, as I
quotes,
was saying,
or
yeah, these
inverted
podcasts.
commas, as you say, are about 10 to 20 seconds long and comprise synthesized speech audio that directs users to visit the link in the description.
Yeah, there you go.
That's awesome. And
And
the episodes are about 10 to 20 seconds long.
yeah.
Just long enough to say what you need. Like here's one of them.
www.dodgythings here.
There you go. Yeah. Malwarepalooza.com.
Yeah.
Hello, viewers. Welcome to my channel. There is good news from me. If you want to download or listen to audiobooks from this channel, please click the link in the description and sign up there. Then you will get unlimited book access. Please follow me. I am looking for several ebook and audiobook options. Thank you for coming to my channel. Warm greetings from me. Yeah, that sounds totally legit.
Completely, completely legit.
I'd click that link.
Someone's going to be clipping that audio of you and then using it for their podcast.
Oh,
Because
yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
you sound almost genuine and real. And with your
Oh.
professional voice, it sounds correct as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, everyone. I just screwed up the algorithm.
So
Oh.
couldn't, well, so the question is, what does Spotify do about this? Maybe they scrub all podcasts that are less than 1 minute.
Yeah, you think that would, wouldn't you? Or, I mean,
Man,
if they're not be.
I'd hate to be responsible for this kind of stuff at Spotify. I don't
Oh,
know
it's going to be
how
a
you keep
night.
up with people.
I mean, it's like spammers in, I think, in thread in YouTube threads as well. Well, YouTube comments as well. It's a game of whack, permanently a game of whack-a-mole. Permanently, just a complete game of whack-a-mole where you knock off five and then 10 will reappear. Anything involving giveaways, prizes, or whatever else, you get some clown saying, "Telegram me here." So you've won. Telegram this number. No, right. And so those sort of things equally are the bane of a lot of content creators on YouTube for the same reason. But it is a game of whack-a-mole.
See, this is why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, that just. All right.
I got a spam text today, and it was one of those, "Hey, what are you doing today?"
Oh, yeah, I get a lot of those.
So
And
my reply today was, "Well, I have my appointment for a mud bath at 2 p.m. How about you?"
you have no idea how much self-control it takes for me to not reply to those, because I know when I reply, now I've just
You've registered
verified
your
my number
verified
for
phone
them.
number is live, so they'll
Right, I
send you more
know.
shite. Yeah, but oh man, I'm concerned that the next time I buy a new iPhone, I'm going to have to get one with even more storage capacity because of how big the blocked number database is getting on my phone.
So here's a question, a question about blocking numbers. If the people that are spamming are spoofing the number, don't you risk blocking a number that you might want to actually get at some point?
Sure. But I, okay, so I started blocking when I realized that the same numbers were being used
They're
by different
repeating.
spammers. And but a lot of these numbers, they're outside the United States. They're
Right.
from locations where the likelihood I would be getting a call is extremely low.
You don't have any plans to go to Karachi anytime soon?
No, I mean, I keep thinking about it, but yeah. So for me, blocking all these numbers and potentially blocking a number that at some point in the future I would want to get a call from. Okay, well, so I won't get a call from that number.
Yeah, I guess the odds are there are a lot of numbers out there. The odds of you blocking a number that at some point you might want is pretty slim.
Yep. All right, Tom, let's talk about your story.
Okay, let's talk about Wi-Fi. So this article is based on the fact that Wi-Fi 8 is just around the corner, the standard for Wi-Fi 8.
I bet you guys get
Which,
used to being called version six.
right. So, based on that kind of feeling, I had the same feeling. You know, I'm not even on, you know, six, and seven's been out for a while, and now they're talking about eight. So my thought was, what is it with all these new, you know, versions of Wi-Fi? What are we actually getting from them? So the short answer is Wi-Fi 8 has less sort of user noticeable differences. It's sort of new things around the edges, I'd say, to be fair. Maybe for some special use cases, that there's some valuable things, but not so much. But this article has a nice table, which comes from MediaTek, which is a chip company that does Wi-Fi chips, and it shows basically the speed of the different Wi-Fi formats from Wi-Fi 4 to Wi-Fi 8. And they talk about, they call it, of course, they don't just say speed, they say max PHY rate, which is basically how fast physically, based on electronics, can the Wi-Fi run. It's probably far from what you would actually get, but it gives you some relative idea of how fast each Wi-Fi standard is. And so, for example, with Wi-Fi 4, which is probably 10 years old, I'm not sure. The
About
maximum throughput is about 600 megabits per second. And I'm sure when Wi-Fi 4 came out, we were ecstatic about getting 600 megabits per second.
Oh, yes. I'll have an edge.
What, you know, Wi-Fi 6, actually Wi-Fi 5, there was a huge jump to 4.3 gigabits per second. So that's what, 7 times faster than Wi-Fi 4. So a huge leap from 4 to 5. Wi-Fi 6 is 9.6. That doubled it, a little bit more than double it. Wi-Fi 7 gets you to 23, which is, 2.5 times more. Wi-Fi 8 is also going to be 23 gigabits per second. But I didn't realize how much faster Wi-Fi has gotten from Wi-Fi 4 to Wi-Fi 7. I mean, it's like 150x, something like that, faster. From 600 megabits to 23 gigabits per second.
Well, even the jump from Wi-Fi 6 to 7 is pretty
Yeah.
impressive.
Yeah. 2.5x.
It's me serious sort of performance
Then
jump again.
the question becomes, if you, let's say your house was on Wi-Fi 4 or Wi-Fi 5 and you upgraded to 7, would it really make any difference in your life for most use cases?
Well, I'd say beyond 5 or 6, you probably won't notice. Unless it makes it easier to deal with thicker walls, more metal in the building, those things that
That,
trouble Wi-Fi now. You know, those are the things that the Faraday cage sort of thing that we've got in the house in a couple of spots. Those are the things that trouble Wi-Fi now, getting good coverage when you've got a thick
right.
wall in one build part of the building. Those are the things we'd notice a difference in.
Yeah, I'm in the same situation, and faster speeds at the same frequency does nothing for that problem.
The big improvement that I see with 6 over 5, and this carries forward into 7 and 8, is the number frequency bands that are available to you. So Wi-Fi 5 was
Yeah,
limited
four.
to 5 gigahertz, which is much more susceptible to those thick walls that Ian was talking about.
Yeah,
But with
two point
six,
four is much better, yeah.
yeah, so you have 2.4, 5, and 6, and yeah, so that makes a big difference for network reliability.
And there's a spec in here called spatial streams, and I have no idea what that means, but it doubled from 5 to 6. I don't know if that
Coordinated
means.
spatial reuse can enhance communication access points to optimize
Yeah.
power output and improve the throughput between by 15 to 20%. So I guess something to do with that.
Yeah, I guess it's putting more signal on the same frequency, maybe, in
Yeah.
some simple terms.
Multiplexing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have 20 people in your house all streaming Netflix, maybe it helps.
Yes.
But
Okay.
I'm with Ian. I think the biggest problem is just the physical limitation of Wi-Fi getting through walls and being affected by microwaves and that kind of stuff. More so than the raw speed.
Which is what the
And
whole
I'm
mesh network stuff is meant to sort of address, isn't it? The
Right. That's true.
your Eero and your MIMO and all those kind of things, those kind of sort of bits of tech are supposed to improve that. I still haven't yet put one in, to be honest. I mean, we've still got a number. I've just dotted a number of access points around the house, and that still seems to be keeping us. And they are. I mean, some of those are still on R11N, a combination of 11N and 11. 11 AC. I really need to either get them all updated, but I'm waiting for them to die because as we just said, there's honestly for me reading the internet, watching a movie on my phone, it makes not a jot of difference.
Ian, I didn't wait for mine to die before replacing them. And the reason was because when I upgraded to new equipment, I had older equipment that I could throw in a box so that if something died or I needed to jury rig some extra bandwidth or distance with Ethernet and an extra base station, I had gear sitting in a closet. But okay, get this. I did run a mesh network when I was in my apartment in Boulder, even though my apartment was only 750 square feet. And that's because it was all plaster lathe walls. And trying to get a signal to go through one wall, I mean, it was surprising how degraded it was. If it had to go through
Totally.
two walls,
Forget it,
it wasn't going to happen. So I actually ran a mesh network in a 750 square foot space.
We have the same kind of walls here. Or the old part of the original part of the house is plaster and lathe. And you're right, it doesn't go through walls hardly at all. So that's maybe going from a single point access point to a mesh is a bigger improvement than going from five to six or six to seven.
I'm
If you have
inclined
a
to
situation.
agree with you on that.
Okay, so the conclusion is Tom needs to go buy a mesh Wi-Fi router system.
Well, good news. We are coming up into Black Friday buying season.
That's
Oh,
true.
yeah, of course.
And actually, the last update that I did, or upgrade that I did, was I replaced an older Eero with an Eero 6 Pro, 6E Pro, I think. And I bought that on a Black Friday sale. And since it's Amazon, they can drop the price to whatever they want. And it was just shockingly cheap through a Black Friday sale.
So this says I can get 3 Euro Pro 6Es for $350. And do I need to buy some sort of a base station with that, or do they all
They
use
are the base
Daisy?
stations. So if you get the one where it's the three 6Es together, each of them has an Ethernet port.
Oh, okay, good. So you can put them anywhere.
You can put them anywhere, which is super great.
But they also do point to point, right? I don't need Ethernet on all of them.
Oh no. Ethernet's just like if you know it's a place where the signal is going to be that bad, don't set it up as a wireless mesh. Run a cable to that spot
I see.
and it still meshes just like it should.
Okay, now
Yeah,
I just
these.
have to convince my wife I have to install three Wi-Fi routers around the house instead of one.
Here's my advice, which is probably bad to take.
Don't tell her.
Okay, that's better advice. My advice was go dig in the box of stuff you have out in the garage, all that leftover stuff. Pull out one of those old mechanical timers that we used to put on light switches. Put it on your Wi-Fi router, and just have so that just periodically it shuts off for like 5 minutes.
You're a bad man.
And when your wife is asking you about this, you can be like, oh, I was
we need
afraid
to
this day
get
was going to come.
we got to get a new router.
Also, everyone, do not take my relationship advice. Oh my God. Seriously.
It's funny you mentioned that because I used to have one of those plug-in timers on my Wi-Fi router because it was such a lousy router. I had to reboot it every day. So I set it to turn off, at 2 o'clock in the morning and turn back on at 2:30 in the morning every day.
I've have one of those old timers sitting in my box of extra gear because I had to do the same thing. And it was with one of my smart home bridges. And so I set it, it was like 2 o'clock, and then at 2:10 it would turn back on.
Right. It's
And
because the people that wrote the software for those devices were bad at their job.
yeah, they were. And now that I think about it, it was the Wemo Bridge. Is when because they started releasing their smart switches and other devices, and then decided, oh yeah, let's add HomeKit support. And they did that by initially by releasing a bridge. And yeah, but the it was kind of janky.
All right, so which Eero should I get?
I hold on, let me tell you which one I have, and it's been super reliable. Hold on, Eero.
There is a big price difference.
There is. You can get one for as little as 20 pay. I can get one for as little as 30 quid right through to there's the Eero 6,
I
and
have a
then a 6
6
plus.
Pro E.
Okay, that was the one I was with. That was the one for 350 for three. I
And
like the fact that the Max 7 for three of them is $1,300.
yeah, just again, a point where you're not going to notice a difference.
Well, and do you have any devices that actually have Wi-Fi 7?
Right, no.
And if not, when will you?
Yeah.
So,
Right.
yeah, for
So
me, Wi-Fi 6 will be
6E.
plenty for a very long time. And yeah, the 6E has been just rock solid. And I even initially, so when I initially set it up, I pulled out my old Eero, which I don't even remember which model it was, but it came with two of their smaller mesh access points, the ones that you couldn't plug Ethernet into. And so I just replaced the big thing, the main one, because
Right.
that's what I needed at the time, and it inherited these much older mesh points. And it was just completely seamless. So it's like it didn't matter what Eero gear I had, all of it was happy to work together.
So you can mix and match.
Yep. And so I had a mix and match Wi-Fi mesh network until I moved into my new place where I don't need to have mesh because it's much more modern construction. No plaster and lathe here.
So now I have to look at what's the difference between the 6E and the 6 Plus?
And I do not remember.
Yeah,
And
I'll
there's a
have to do
five. I
some
mean, I'm
Google.
looking at the five ones here as well. And then you
Don't.
can get a three pack. If anyone thinks of doing this on the cheap, you can get a three pack for 89 quid, 90
Yeah,
pounds for a
right. It's
set.
100,
I mean,
115
that
bucks
would,
maybe.
yeah, but
I mean,
it.
that would be enough to get most people going without too much fuss.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there's that.
Yeah,
But
if you're a little bit tight on cash, that would be the way to
you
go.
know, that'd get the job done.
All right.
I mean,
So this
I'll
has
probably
been
just
an
get some more.
expensive podcast. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome. But w wait for that Black Friday deal.
Yeah, it's
And you.
already $200 off the
Oh, that
regular
probably is
price.
the Black Friday
Yeah.
deal then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been using the Ubiquiti stuff for years, and I'll probably continue to use the Unify things.
And Ubiquiti's really good too.
Yeah, the ones I've got there, they're like I say, they're the old standard, but they continue to do a thing
Yeah,
until
it's.
they just stop doing a thing, and I'll probably just go and buy one of the ones with the newer Wi-Fi standard on them and just replace them, literally swap them out. And the Ubiquiti stuff, we just go, oh yeah, there's a new device to any IP address. Yeah, there we go, done.
See, yeah, see, that's really nice.
And I
Well,
just
and that
want
was one of the
it
things
works.
about the Eero that I liked when I replaced my primary base station. I was able to add the new one in and then tell the Eero app, this is the new one that's going to be the primary. And so It was like, okay. And it just took all the settings that I had
That's
from the old
cool.
one, moved it over, and then it was like, okay, so now this old one is out of the mix. Do you want me just to remove it completely for you? Yes, done.
That is quite
Nice.
nice.
It was really slick. So, all right. Well, I brought a story today.
Yay.
Oh. Yeah. And my story is about Google. And so the Pixel 2 tablet, it hasn't been released yet, and it turns out it's not going to be. And so I guess Google's thing now is take products that they haven't even released yet and start canceling them, because the Pixel Tablet 3, it was canceled, and the Pixel 2 isn't even out yet. And now it turns out, I guess today or maybe yesterday, the announcement came out that the Pixel Tablet 2, it's not even going to come out. So it looks like Google's on again, off again relationship with making tablets is off again.
Wow.
And I
This
think
is just so Google.
it is, isn't it?
Yeah, and
I mean,
so my guess is that they're not selling.
right.
Because
Yeah.
what other reason would they have for canceling a product line like this?
No other sensible one out there.
I mean, the only Android tablets I see in the wild are either Samsung for people who have enough money, or really, really cheap tablets that people buy for their kids.
The no name ones.
Right.
Yep, that's pretty much what I see. Or a kid, well, not anymore. I used to see Fire tablets out in the wild,
Yeah, you
but
don't
yeah, I
see
don't
them
even
as
see
much
those
anymore. Even
anymore.
no.
I've stopped using them.
Yeah.
I still have a Fire tablet, which is over here, and I've turned it into a useful device. It's running Stream Deck.
Ah, great. Okay,
That's a good
that's actually
idea. I'm using
really
it as a,
very clever.
I'm just using it as a Stream Deck. So
Yeah.
it was sitting there, and I was thinking, what can I do with this thing? And I realized it's not that old a generation. I've got sideloaded the Google Play Store on, so I just installed Stream Deck on it, and I've been playing around with it with just a block of the default block of six, and realized actually this is really helpful, and I'm doing a lot of things right. That's it. I bought the full license, which isn't a lot. It's like £20 for the year, and I get a full grid then in the little thing, and that's. I don't need to go and buy a £100, £200 Stream Deck physical, because the touch buttons really doesn't matter, and the device's batteries needed is done again. That doesn't matter either. It can sit there tethered. I unplug it for the hour I'm using it for, plug it back in, and it sits on my desk again. That can be a cool thing for another week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great little device.
I'll be honest. I'm part of the demographic for whom tablets don't work. I'm either I do it on my phone or I do it on a computer. I've never really felt the need for the in between, but my wife has a iPad and loves it, so.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's one of those things where if you don't have a use case for it, I mean, you really don't have a use case for a tablet. And
No.
yeah.
The only time I even thought about getting a tablet is to read the newspaper every day. I don't get a physical newspaper anymore. But honestly, I just read it on my phone.
Yeah, and I'm in contrast, I don't want to say constant tablet user, but a very regular tablet user. What I noticed is that when the COVID pandemic lockdown started, and there wasn't any place for me to go, the way I use my tablets, because I actually have multiple iPads, changed drastically. And right now, as weird as this sounds, between my iPad Pro 13-inch and my iPad Mini, right now I'm using my iPad Mini more than my iPad Pro.
I like the minis, so that's a good form factor. If I got a tablet, I'd get an iPad for for consumption.
It's great for that. Yeah.
I mean, I've
All right. So I got to buy Euros and an iPad mini. Let me
mini, an
start making
iPad
a
mini,
list
definitely.
here. I got a
Yeah, the
list
mini.
going.
Yeah, the
Anything
mini's
else
a
I need to
lovely little
buy?
device. Well,
New TV.
yeah, possible.
Yeah. As long as you're spending the money, why not?
I guess I'm gonna have to unretire myself and start working again to pay for all this stuff.
Well, yeah, welcome to capitalism. Okay, so hold on. I'm making a note because I thought of a show title.
Spending Tom's money.
Yes. What I
Indeed,
wrote down
spending
is we
Tom's money.
spend Tom's money. All right. All right. Sorry about that interruption, but I can fix it by saying, hey, how about that TSO hose? Aren't they great? And what makes them great? Well, what makes them great is that they're taking the services that that their company offers, and they're just giving those to us so that we can be here bringing shows to you every single week. And what TSO Host does is website hosting, and then they help you buy domain names also. And they said, hey, British Tech Network, here, have all of this bandwidth so you can live stream multiple shows every single week. And here, have this hosting space. So there's a place for the BTN website to live. And then here, why don't you just have all this other server space so there's a place for all the show files to live so that people can watch or listen to their favorite episodes anytime they want? And we were like, hey, that's really great. Thank you. And the reason we were so excited is because the resources it takes to do all of this, it's beyond what we would be able to manage on our own. So we really appreciate that TSO Host is here and that they are supporting us. Thank you, TSO Host. If all of you could hop out onto your favorite social media and give them a thank you as well, that would be really cool because this is the easiest way to let them know that we all do appreciate that they're here and supporting us. So thank you again, TSO hosts. All right. Now here's the part where Patrice is just absolutely awesome and I pale in comparison. Well, there's so many ways, but for this specific moment, it's about our live stream and our live chat. Patrice updated, totally modernized our live stream and our live chat this year, which is great because it works so well now that even I can tell you about the live chat. So when we are live streaming shows, you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com and you'll see the live stream. And then in a column right there on the page, or if you're doing it on a phone underneath the video, there's the live chat. So you can participate in that. And there's like a purple button at the top. And if you click on that, you can customize your name so that we know who you really are. This is where you go to find the links to all the things we're talking about. So, like for today, that would be the articles, and then the cool things which are coming up next. And it's great to be able to interact with our audience in real time. So it's really cool for that. Let's say though that you happen to be watching or listening to the recordings later on. You can still check out what was in the live chat. And to do that, you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. I got a thumbs up. Okay, I got that part right. And there you're going to see a calendar there. Click on the date for the show. So like for today, that's November 21st, 2024. And then you can see the chat that happened on that day. So you can get to all the links and whatever discussion there is. And super easy. That's all there's to it. So did I forget anything about the live chat? I
I
think I
think
got
you
it
got
all.
it. You got
Okay, see, it's just so much smoother when Patrice does it. But this is a testament to how great the new system is, because I was able to do that, and the only place I floundered was, I suddenly forgot if I had the right URL for the chat transcript, and I wasn't sure if I'd actually finished, and it turns out I had. All right, so hey, Patrice, thank you for all the work you put into modernizing us and making a system that even I can talk about. You rock. All right, so with that, it is now time for some cool things.
Cool things. Cool
And
things for
Tom, it
me.
looks like you have the first one.
Okay. My cool thing today is a YouTube video. And it's a talk given by Chris Miller, who's the guy that wrote the Chip War book, Chip Wars book,
Okay.
talking about how chips are made and the geopolitical situation around them and the supply chain and all that. I think I picked that book as a cool thing when it came out.
I think you did
This
because this sounds really familiar.
so this is a guy that I forget what his background is, but it's not in technology. And he spent a bunch of time interviewing a bunch of people to figure out how chips are manufactured and how the ecosystem works and the issues and so on. And he just did a tremendous job of explaining it and identifying challenges with it. And so this YouTube video is him talking at a forum called the World Knowledge Forum in Korea, in Incheon, in South Korea, about within the last month. And he does a really good job of explaining, using maps of the world where all the key suppliers that are required to get semiconductors manufactured, designed, and manufactured are. And how they interact, and kind of the again the geopolitical implications of this, and how important semiconductors are. You've heard a lot of people say semiconductors are the oil of the 21st century, and maybe that's true. I'm not sure if that's a good analogy or not, but they are pretty important. So if you're interested in sort of geopolitical topics, economics and technology from that point of view, I think you'll enjoy the talk. It's about 40 minutes, but I thought it was pretty good.
Very cool. All right. So I've got this tagged into Instapaper so I remember to watch it.
You can
Awesome.
watch that while I'm spending all the money you guys cost me.
That's multitasking in action right there. Awesome. Okay. Ian, tell us about your cool thing.
My cool thing was something I discovered this week. Now, it's a bit geeky, but then again, go figure. But it's a free it's it, it's a free virtual machine. It's some free virtual machines out on the internet if you want them, and they're hosted by Oracle. So it's not like a small company that might disappear tomorrow. If you want to have a go, though, there's a very generous free tier. If you want to play around with Kubernetes, you want to play around with some of the newer technologies online, you can get yourself set up practically for nothing. There's a few guides, if you Google around, there's a few guides on how to get this stuff set up. And literally, you can. I stood one up this week just as an exercise, and it took me half a day to do to sort of because there's a couple of things where you do need to register a credit card. They do take an impression because, again, they need to know you're going to be able to pay if it comes to the other end. And a few steps, there's a couple of great guides. One guy called Matt. Let me find the guides.
This is kind of
So,
cool.
yeah, so it looks like you
Matt
sign up for
Scott.
this, and every month you get a $300 credit.
You get a very generous allocation.
Every
So.
month. So it's
Yeah.
more than a trial.
So there's one guy's guide to getting the thing set up so you can do it. There's another guy called, wasn't it, Ryan Harrison? On the always free tier. There's the other one. I've a couple of articles here that I found, which I'll add to the chat, of ways to do it. So because you get a couple of AMD machines. They're fairly modest, but they'll do the kind of things if you want to play around with a little bit of development. You get 200 gigs worth of storage and 10 gigs worth, 10 terabytes worth of outbound data transfer. So there's quite a bit. So generally, that's quite good. And that's for nothing. And then you can spin up anything from an Oracle, from a Ubuntu machine to a an Oracle Linux machine. They're obviously always free, but I mean, Oracle Linux is just Red Hat, so it's not like it's anything you really need to struggle to learn. And yeah, I was really impressed. I set some stuff up. I built a little web. I stood up a little thing that put a web page up and go, yeah, that's cool. And I'm gonna have a bit more of a play with it when I know what I want to try on the Kubernetes side of things. And I was impressed. So that's a good, that's definitely a free cool thing. And it's backed up by one of the largest companies in the world, Oracle.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so they're clearly trying to ratchet up the competition with Azure and AWS and Google Cloud. That's smart.
That's
Yeah,
very
you just look
cool.
at their always free tier to see what they have, and there's a whole host of stuff you can do. You want to play around with machine learning, all those kind of things. There's a load of really, really good free stuff. I was really impressed. The other thing with Oracle, well, being Oracle, their documentation is really good, and they've got a lot of really good on for those that are not new to not immediate familiar with. There was a load. I had a quick peek through a load of their onboarding videos, and those are really good for someone not familiar with this stuff, wanting to delve in for the first time. Not too much jargon and sort of fairly clear and showing you how you navigate your way around the system. So I was impressed.
All right, that's super cool. We live in trying times. There's a lot of stress. So, I actually today decided to change my cool thing to just fun because we need more of that.
Why not? Yeah.
So of course we're going back to Lego. And
Absolutely.
my pick is the Lego Botanical Garden kit.
Oh, wow, look at that.
And I mean it is just beautiful. And when I first saw photos of it, I immediately thought of Kew Gardens. And I absolutely love Kew Gardens.
Oh, that's really nice. We
It looks like the conservatory at Golden Gate Park, actually.
it and
Yeah,
it,
that
yes,
does
it
look,
has
that
that
looks
look as
familiar.
well. Yeah, it does. You're
does
right.
look does look very cute.
Yeah. So, okay, so this is like if Kew and the SF Conservatory had a little baby garden together, this is what would come out. So it has a bunch of minifigures, of course, but then it has you're actually building plants that live inside your conservatory, and it has little flower gardens around the outside and a fountain and stuff, and it has a like a surprisingly high number of figures. And
Yeah,
I'm
there's
counting now. One,
ton.
two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
12.
There's 12
Yeah.
minifigures. And yeah, and that tends to drive the price of a kit up every time you add a minifigure. But it's 3,792 pieces, and the price is $329.99 US. Which means you're still coming in under a dime a brick, and that dime threshold, that's my personal guideline for whether or not a kit is priced reasonably. And of course, some kits you end up paying more because there's extra licensing, like Star Wars or Marvel or DC kits. But there you go, 3,792 pieces. And it's just awesome.
Sounds great. We just bought a jazz club kit. I dropped the link in.
Oh, I loved that build.
Have you done it? Have you built it?
I have built it. It
Yeah.
is absolutely wonderful. It was like every thing that you would build and add in, I was delighted in a new way. And
That's
the
good, because how 20 to be 21-year-old tomorrow is, doesn't normally know what he wants for his birthday, but he was down from university last weekend, and he says, "I wouldn't mind a Lego kit, something I can have at the end of the desk, and I can do a little bit to each day and build something up." Because we've got back up here, there's one of the town hall
Oh,
from that kind of
nice.
series. Again, he and I did a lot of that years ago, and so he was thinking of that, and so and he's into music, massively into music, so I thought, oh, jazz club, that'd be brilliant. But no, I'm glad to hear that. It's a good fun build.
It's a really fun build. There's some really cool techniques in it. One of the things that seems like a nothing thing to me was a big delight. It's making the stained glass windows on the front of the building.
That's
Oh,
pretty
right.
cool. I remember, I think you picked that one, right?
I may have at some point. It wouldn't surprise me.
That was
Oh
pretty
yeah. Oh, I
cool.
see another stained glass. I hadn't realized there was stained glass in there. But
Oh yeah.
when you build those windows, it
Yeah.
is just a stunningly simple technique. And it's just all about what they do with transparent bricks. But you put it together and you look at it, and it's like, holy crap, that is just fantastic. Anyhow, yeah, that's a great build. So the Botanic Garden is now on my wish list, and maybe that will be my birthday present to myself.
It's reasonable.
Yeah. Hey, we have managed to get to the end of the show. So
Yeah.
go us. And I think we generally stayed on the rails today too, which is
Mostly, yeah.
really weird.
What's
Yeah.
wrong with us?
I know. Seriously, we're gonna have to work on that. All right. So, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here on the Big Show every Thursday. I'll be here talking about crap and all sorts of other things. And otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant. I'm the one that works for Veeam.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, social media, I am J Gamut everywhere. I am active on Mastodon and Instagram. But because there's so many people that are migrating out of X right now, I think we've kind of hit a critical threshold for activity on other networks. So I'm doing my best to be active and pay attention on Blue Sky and Threads as well. So we'll see how this goes. Then for shows, Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And then Patrice Brind'Amour and I do Retro Rewatch. All right. So with that, thank you to both of you for just being absolutely awesome, making me smile and keeping me entertained throughout the show. And really, isn't that what matters, whether or not I'm entertained?
Absolutely. That's it.
Anyhow, seriously, thank you. Both of you are absolutely awesome. And everyone that watches or listens to the shows live, thank you for being a part of this as well and participating in the live chat. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. All of you are all awesome, wonderful people. And awesome, wonderful people. That also includes Ewan. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, it is now time to wrap up. So, hey, thanks again for being here. Don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show, and then come back again next Thursday for the Big Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.